Meeting. Okay, so we'll call the special meeting to we'll start at 5:37 p.m. And so right now we'll do a roll call.
Thank you.
And I'll go through the list that I see. Dwayne Davis. Oh, you taste it.
Here.
Jorge Velasco.
Yeah.
And also state what district you represent. So Dwayne, which district do you represent?
District 3.
Thank you. Jorge Velasco.
Present, represent District 5.
Kimberly. No, not Kimberly.
Kimberly. Present, representing at large.
Okay. Michael. Not Michael. Nicole.
Present, representing District 4.
Peter.
Present, representing District 2.
I'm Anna Carita, representing District 3, and Tayshaun is here, so she could take over as our chair.
We're going to do elections in
this. Hi. Yep, we're going to do elections very soon. You are more than welcome to continue, Agarita. But Tayshaun, Pamaleli, District 7, and I believe right now we are about to adopt the resolution from what I saw on the agenda. So I can turn that back over to the city to
thank you.
I just promoted Bill to a panelist, so Bill is also here, or I think, yes, so any moment.
I'd like to see you guys. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Can you share the agenda and resolution, Caitlin?
Yes, one moment.
Mike?
Yes. So here we are. We've done roll call. The chair would like to review the agenda. We have three items on it. Open forum, the adoption of the resolution, adjournment.
Yes. So we already have done the call to order and the roll call. We've reviewed the agenda as we see. Do we have open forum? If there's anyone that would like to speak, please raise your hand, or I believe if you're on the phone, you press star 6.
I believe, and I don't see any attendees.
Perfect. So we will move directly to item 3, which is adopt a resolution determining that conducting in-person meetings of OSCY Planning Committee can continue.
Sure. And I'll address this one. I'm Mike Wetzel. I'm the program planner here, the Human Health and Human Services Department for OFCY. Over the past year and a half since the COVID crisis and the pandemic hit in March, when that happened in March 2020, the Governor Newsom signed an executive order N2920, which suspended elements of the Brown Act and allowed for us to have remote meetings. And this was a requirement for all legislative bodies, city bodies, governing bodies to be able to do their work functioning, still in compliance with the Brown Act. This was extended a few times as the realization that the pandemic wasn't a short-term event, but long-term way that we've been going, and is extended until it was set to expire last month, September, at the end of it. And so the governor signed new legislation. California enacted what is called AB 361. And this allows, it's amending the government code to allow legislative bodies to remain meeting by teleconference if there's a local health emergency in place. So the city of Oakland, the city of Oakland administration has provided guidance to us as a city board and a city commission that to hold remote meetings, teleconference meetings, that is necessary to hold the special meeting and pass a resolution in support. adopt a resolution that determines that conducting in-person meetings of the Oakland Children's Fund Planning and Oversight Committee and its subcommittees would present imminent risks to attendees' health, and that electing to continue conducting meetings using teleconferencing in accordance with this new law is what we're looking to support. And so this is guidance that the city administration, again, has provided to OFCY as well as all the other boards and commissions in Oakland as the process to continue holding these meetings remotely. With that, I would say I will turn it back to the chair for any questions that staff can answer through the chair from POC members about the legislation or the order or the plans of the city regarding remote meetings and returning to in-person meetings.
Awesome, thank you. Are there any questions? If so, feel free to speak at this time. Well, I know on a personal statement, I think these meetings have been super helpful and allows us all to connect and still stay engaged in this great work despite our busy schedule. So if there aren't any questions, then we can look to move this forward. So can I get a motion?
It's Bill Riley. I'll move that.
A second. Pecolia Maniga.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. So now I'll go down the roll, or I'll actually go down just by the present, the attendees list that I see. So I see Ankarita Allen.
Yes.
Dwayne Davis.
Yes.
Jorge Velasco.
Yes.
Kimberly.
Yes.
Pecolia Manigo.
Yes.
Peter Lay.
Yes.
And Bill Riley.
Yes.
And Tatiana Famalele, yes. I mean, this has passed unanimously. Did I miss someone?
I believe that was everybody.
Okay, awesome. So this has passed unanimously.
Great. And with that, it would be the final item on the agenda would be adjournment.
Awesome. So now this meeting is adjourned with 15 minutes to spare ahead of our official OFCY meeting at 6 o'clock.
Great.
Thank you.
Now we do just stay on the same link, correct?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Start. Perfect. Good evening, everyone, and thank you to all those that have joined us for our monthly OFCY committee meeting. At this time, we will have our call to order, and that'll begin with the roll call, and I'll ask Member Manigo if she can lead that for us.
Absolutely. When you hear your name, say present, and your district, William Riley.
Present. Mayor appointment.
Peter Lay.
Present, representing District 2.
Thank you. Shamil Wakia.
Present, representing District 2.
Thank you. Tassian Kwamale.
Present, representing District 7.
Fantastic. Dwayne Davis.
Present, representing District 3.
Jorge Velasco.
Present, representing District 5.
And Pecolia Maniga, present, representing District 4. Did I miss any member or commissioner? See. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pecolia. So we'll move right along. And the next item on the agenda is just review of the agenda. As you can see, it is on the screen. I do not believe you have to adopt it. However, you all see what our agenda will consist of for the night. So on to item 2, which is open forum. So attendees, now is the time if you would like to speak. raise your hand. And if you are on the phone, I believe you press star 6 and we will promote you so that you're able to speak.
Did we adopt the agenda?
I'm sorry. For you.
This is Bill Riley. I was just asking if we adopt the agenda.
Are we supposed to adopt the agenda?
Yeah.
We don't usually adopt the agenda.
Yeah, we normally don't. We just review it.
And you can make modifications. I mean, we can, the chair can make modifications, but we just review it for that.
Okay. Do we want to adopt the agenda? If not, I'll move right along to item 3.
Oh, so we do have 2 people with their hands up for open forum.
Oh, awesome.
So the first person is Gabrielle Garcia.
Okay. Ms. Garcia, you have 2-3 minutes to speak.
Hello, this is Gabriel Garcia. I am the Policy and Advocacy Manager for Youth Alive. I just wanted to extend my gratitude to this body and everybody involved who has made a priority of the OFCY strategic plan to really focus on violence prevention in our schools. I know that we have had a rich partnership with some of the Oakland Unified School District staff and personnel as we think about how to make our campuses a safer place in a way that really focuses on the students who have been most marginalized by previous instances of campus safety. So again, wanted to extend our gratitude for this body and all the efforts that have gone into thinking about how we can really bring programs like restorative justice and violence interruption to Oakland Unified campuses. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next person to speak, Caitlin.
Is Asada Olubala?
Yes, thank you. I read your strategic plan for 2022 through 2025. When I read your plan, I have a special interest group that I'm looking to see how you address their needs. That's the African American children and youth. That's my priority. What stood out, and I'm not going to be able to stay in the meeting because the board meeting of OUSD is going on at the same time, and I have to get back to that meeting. But what stood out, Black African-American youth have been the highest burden from poverty, environmental degrading, and interaction with punitive systems, i.e. supervision, arrest, and detention. That's great. But throughout your document, you tend to put Black children in the same category as other children, as if they're having the same experience. You do it when you use the term BIOP. BIOP means Black, Indigenous, people of color. And that's the problem when trying to get things done for Black people in this city. We tend to act as if all groups of people are having the same experience. Black children are not having the same experience. Black people are not in this city. And as long as you do this, we will not be capable of getting the kinds of help we need. You have to specifically identify Black children's needs. For instance, Black children in OUSD are disproportionately suspended in middle school. Black children in OUSD are disproportionately identified as emotionally disturbed. Black children in OUSD, because of Proposition 209, can't be a part of LCAP that has specific group identification for assistance with their needs. So I want to encourage you, please, if you're interested in helping Black children, you can't lump them together. You have to look at their specific needs and address them. There's an item on the agenda tonight at OUSD where you are giving a large sum of money for
soccer without borders. At the same time, there's a very little money being given to the African-American children. I've historically looked at how you fund, and when you do fund, it's at a very low amount for African-American children related to OUSD. Thank you to the time.
Thank you for your comments. We will take them to heart. Okay, if there are no other hands raised for open forum, we will move to item 3, which is election of the Planning and Oversight Committee co-chairs for 2021-2022.
So what we would normally do is, every at the beginning of every year, and this is the first meeting of the year for the POC, first of all, I'm Sandy Taylor, Manager for Children Youth Services and Oakland Fund, and just want to welcome everybody for coming and being here and helping us making quorum. But what we would normally do is ask for, nominations. We have both an adult co-chair and a youth co-chair for the Planning and Oversight Commission. And so that would be the first step, is to ask amongst the group if you want to, you can self-nominate, or we can ask for nominations from the commission to be co-chair.
I also want to recognize that Shamel is a brand new POC member. This is her first meeting, so welcome.
Welcome, Shamel.
Thank you.
Everybody, don't jump at once now.
Welcome. We have, one thing to point out, of course, is that we are short. We're about to have another adult commissioner appointed, and then we'll be only short one adult commissioner, I believe. We have two youth commissioners. And so with the appointment of Shamil, so we're looking to really, get the council members to appoint their youth who are leaders and who have a really important presence on the Planning and Oversight Commission. Today, we have Shamil, who's new, and then Dwayne, who is returning and has been with the commission. I want to say this is your third year. I want to encourage, with that experience, him to come forward and maybe.
Yes, this is my third year, and I will go ahead and self-nominate myself for youth co-chair. If that's okay.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Yay.
So with that, the commission's will to, we don't really need to take a vote unless, we have any other nominations. And we feel like we should give Shamil a little time to get oriented. So make it official. And let's move to the next role. And I guess we do, who's acting chair? Did you guys do that?
I was just gonna ask, I was like, who's the acting chair for youth and adult right now?
Well, normally, as Tatian has been doing, right, we are continuing into the next year and then until that. So we would have, Tatian was supporting running the meeting. So she's still here?
Yes, I am still here.
We skipped a step. Okay. So can you just bring us around to the appointment of Dwayne?
So I guess we'll call for a vote for the appointment of
Dwayne Davis as the youth co-chair for OFCY for 2021-2022. So I'll go down and call the order. When I say your name, if you can just say yes, yay, or nay, or abstention. So we have William Riley.
Yes.
We need a motion before we take a vote.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yes. Can we have a motion to appoint Dwayne Davis?
This is Kimberly. I move to appoint Dwayne.
Awesome. Can we get a second?
I'll second.
Awesome. Thank you. Ready for the questions? And we'll start with William Riley.
I support it.
Dwayne Davis.
I support as well, yes.
Jorge Velasco.
Yes, I support the nomination of Dwayne Davis.
Kimberly Aceves. I always mess up your last name. Forgive me.
Aceves and Yigas. Yes, absolutely support.
Pacolia Manigo.
Yes.
Peter Lay.
Yes, I support.
And Shamel Wakia.
Yes, I support.
Awesome. Congratulations, Dwayne. Excited to have you on board. And I guess we need to have an adult chair as well appointed for the 2021-22 year. Do we have any nominations? No, well, I'm not going to jump at the same time. I'm happy to continue forward, but I welcome someone to also take the reins if they so choose to. Given there's no one stepping up.
We appreciate your continued service.
I guess I will self-nominate.
I make a motion for Tatiana to stay as the chair.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion. This is Peter.
Awesome. Ready for the questions? I'll go down the roll again. Mr. Riley.
I support that.
Dwayne Davis.
I support.
Jorge Velasco.
I support the nomination of Tyson Famalili as the bill chair.
Kimberly.
Yes, and thank you.
Pacolia.
Absolutely support, and thank you so much.
Peter Lay.
I support as well, and I'm grateful for your continued service.
And Shamel Wakia.
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much. Yes, you didn't give me any other choice. And just going forward, Dwayne, we can alternate on throughout the agenda. I definitely want to encourage you in to lead as our new youth co-chair. So we can alternate, or you can lead for the rest of this meeting, however you choose. But I definitely want you to get into the practice of leading these meetings as well.
Absolutely, and that's something I'm of course open to. I did want to kind of observe as a co-chair just at first, just so I can get the hang of it. I just want to make sure I don't like mess anything.
Awesome.
But I'm definitely open to that, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, makes sense. So we will move right along now that item 3 has been taken care of. And we will go to item 4, which is approval of the prior meeting minutes from July 7th meeting. They were sent out. I'll give us a minute to review. Also, Kimberly, Caitlin is ahead and has put them up. So if you didn't get a chance, let's just take a minute or two to review the meetings, and then we'll call for approval, for a motion to approve, to accept the prior meeting. Okay, do I have a motion to accept the meeting minutes?
Yeah, this is Bill Riley. I'll move to approve. I read those meeting approval of meetings of July 7, 2021.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
A second, it's Kimberly.
Awesome. And we'll call for the questions, starting with Mr. Riley.
I approve.
Mr. Davis.
I approve.
Mr. Velasco.
I approve.
Kimberly, I'm going to get your last name.
Aceves Iniguez, and yes, I approve.
Aceves. I always want to say Aceves. Got it. Pacolia, Ms. Manigo.
Yes, I approve.
Peter.
Yes, I approve.
And last but certainly not least, Ms. Chamel.
Yes, I approve. So it's like a
little bit. Awesome. So these minutes have passed unanimously. Thank you all. And now we will move to the next item on our agenda. Have Caitlin scroll up, which is to the orientation to the year. And I will turn this over to the city, I believe.
Yes, I'll take it on. And I'm glad that I have my coworker, Scott Kim, here also to help me out. We'll provide an orientation for the POC members. My name is Mike Wetzel. I'm the Planning and Oversight Committee. Program Planner for OFCY. Supporting the Planning Oversight Committee. We provide an annual orientation to orient the new members, which right now is Chamel. A lot of you have seen this before, but we'll run through a PowerPoint that gives a sense of what the duties are of the POC and expectation of the work plan for the year. This is going to be an exciting and busy year to be a POC member. So the best way might be for me to share my screen and pull up the PowerPoint. So let me try to do that right now. Seeing that?
Yes.
Great. I want to thank Scott Kim for pulling together the pictures here and the programs that OFCY supports for sending them along so we could share. This is East Bay Agency for East Bay Asian Youth Center's Camp Thrive Summer Program. So just to ground where OFCY is, the Oakland Fund for Children and Youth, we are part of the City of Oakland and the City of Oakland government. We are in the Children and Youth Services Division. Sandra Taylor is the manager of the Children and Youth Services Division. And under that is also the Oakland Summer Food Program, which provides summer lunches. The Oakland Youth Advisory Commission, which provides policy guidance for youth issues, and as well as the grant functions of the Sugar, Sweetened Beverage Board. And we are in the Human Services Department, which is also has Head Start programs, our community housing programs, senior programs, and the Alameda County Oakland Community Partnership Program for anti-poverty funding programs. We are a small and mighty team. As I said, Ms. Taylor is our manager. I'm the program planner. We have program analysts that work with 147 grantees currently to deliver services to children and youth 0 to 21. Last year, over 15,000 children and youth participated directly in programs funded by OFCY. All right. And if you have questions throughout, best way might be to raise your hand, and then Caitlin, you could prompt me and stop me if I'm running my mouth. And I'll probably pass this to you, Scott, in a little bit to take a break. But OFCY is funded back in 1996. It was passed by voters. It was a voter-approved initiative with thousands of signatures gathered to put it on the ballot. Over 75% of the voters approved it. It was reauthorized in 2008, and then most recently reauthorized in January and February 2020 for another 12 years. It provides sets aside a portion of the city funding for service for children and youth 21 years and under. We need to update that. It says reauthorized. It sets aside the legislation amends the city charter to create the Oakland Fund for Children and Youth, and it sets aside 3% of the city's annual unrestricted general purpose fund. And that's important. So as the city's general purpose fund grows, so does the funding available for OFCY. As the city's general purpose fund shrinks, so does the funding available for OFCY to distribute. Out of that 3%, 90% of it, the funds are dedicated to grant awards, and 10% of the fund is used for administration, which is staff salaries, our data system, producing evaluation reports, and preparing strategic investment plan. So the legislation does say specifically the funds need to support these four goals: the healthy development of young children, to help children youth succeed in school and graduate high school, to prevent and reduce violence, crime, and gang involvement among children and youth, and to help youth transition to a productive adulthood. Now, this is these goals are the framework for a lot of the actions of OFCY. For the Planning Oversight Committee, part of your role is very important, is to develop a 3-year strategic investment plan. And that is what we'll be presenting to you tonight, is the plan for your consideration. This plan will provide the guidepost for the next request for proposal process and the investment into community-based and government agencies to do the programming for the next cycle. Part of your responsibility will be to solicit program funding in an open and fair application process. That's what we call the request for proposal process. The legislation does say that we are guided by you, the Planning Oversight Committee. As a full body, there should be 17 members. Each council member has the ability to appoint one adult member and one youth member. And this is a unique board in the city of Oakland where the appointments are coming directly from the council members. So we do have a number of youth vacancies right now. We do hope to get filled this year. Each council member has 2 appointments. The mayor has 1 appointment. And as I said, these are the responsibilities of the Oversight Committee to prepare a plan, 3-year strategic investment plan, to solicit funding application through an open process, to submit to the council the adoption of this investment plan and funding recommendations, and to oversee an annual independent evaluation of the programming and provide that to council as an update. And then the last one is to receive a city auditor baseline spending requirement report. At this point, I'll take a break and pass it to Scott. And if there's any questions, feel free to jump in.
Right. We'll go over the mission, vision, and values, which has recently been changed a bit. So next slide. So the vision is that all children and youth in Oakland will be supported by the community to thrive, leading safe, healthy, and fulfilling lives. The mission is that OFCY provides community-driven funding to heal trauma, advance equity, and elevate opportunity for Oakland's children and youth from birth to age 21. The guiding principles and values that were sort of reworked. The first one is racial, social, and economic equity. OFCY promotes equity, justice, and accountability with concerted application of our resources towards youth of color and those with the greatest need. Next value, child and youth development. OFCY supports efforts to promote the social and emotional, physical, cognitive and positive youth development of children, and to instill individual and community pride and leadership. The next value is collaboration. OFCY works with community and system stakeholders to identify shared goals and objectives, and encourages organizations to work together collaboratively to strengthen results and support each other. And community as the last value, OFCY strengthens children, youth, and families within our communities to make our children and our city strong. Sorry for that typo. Yeah. So OFCY funding, and I believe this is a picture from after school program, BACR, Markham Elementary. So this is our current year, fiscal 21-22 sort of distribution across the 9 strategies that we currently have. You can see there's the 4 sort of funding areas that you saw in the charter. And the first 3 are early childhood programs, the programs in blue, student success. The purple programs or strategies are sort of youth development and summer. And then lastly, the transitions to successful adulthood programs, which includes career awareness and high school and post-secondary success. So it seems like annually this year we are funding 17.69 million to about 147 programs. So OFCY programs, and this is a picture from MIMS, Mentors in Medicine. They're a collaborative partner of Alameda Health Systems. So here's sort of the distribution of program service sites that, and it's a little dated, it's 1920, because so many programs had to shift to the virtual world over the last year in the response to the pandemic. So, so this was the sort of the geolocations of all the program sites that our program said they were operating out of. And you could tell there's a large group below 580. There's always a corridor usually around downtown as well as the Fruitvale. A lot of these sites are actually OUSD school sites as well.
Yeah, I just want to point out that this was right before the pandemic when there's in-person services. The larger the number is means those are usually the school sites where the number of programs, they may have 6 programs to 7 to 11 programs operating as you get closer down into the school sites. We look to get an updated program map, and we'll have that information to share with you in the next few months as we're now our programs are settling into a new in-person and hybrid routine. The color coding is because we try to share by council district where the programming is. So that's what the different colors represent. I'll jump back in, Scott.
Right.
Thank you. These are the highlights from 1920, the end of the year, just an overview of how many people participate in the 147 programs. And this is just 21,237 children and youth participated. There's an additional about 2,000 adults, parents who also support in the early childhood programs. Overall, youth and children and youth participate for over 4.2 million hours. If you add up all their hours of service, on average, children and youth participate for 196 hours over the course of the year. We are finalizing the fiscal, the year 2021 evaluation. We're working on the draft right now with our consultant, independent evaluation consultant, and we look to bring that to the POC evaluation subcommittee soon. So we would like to set that meeting up next. This year, preliminary data, what I just want to share with you is we're looking about 15,500 children and youth participating in programs this last year due to the pandemic. So there's a substantial drop that was what I saw. Overall, the programs, 85% of children and youth who participate identify as Hispanic Latinx, African American Black, or Asian Pacific Islander. With Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, the largest group, followed by African American, Black, Asian Pacific Islander, and then down to smaller numbers. Overall, if you count 21,000 children you serve, that is approximately 1 out of 5 of every children and youth ages 0 to 21 in Oakland that were touched by an OFCY funded program. This is from the current 2019-2022 strategic investment plan. This was a graphic developed to try to identify the priorities of the fund and the focus. We will be presenting a new vision of the plan's focus for the investment next cycle. But as you see, there's kind of a history of building on providing services to those with the greatest need, and be it geographical, race and ethnicity is a consideration, and high needs due to other considerations. The timeline. So OFCY does provide funds on a 3-year cycle. It's a commitment to the community of a 3-year grant. It's actually a 1-year grant that can be renewed in years 2 and 3 based on performance. But it is once every 3 years that OFCY does this process. We're now in year 3. When we talk about fiscal year, OFCY, the city does July 1 through June 30th. So that's the year we're talking about. So it maps with the school year. So as we're going into year 3, this is going to be the request for proposal year, review process, and grant awards. Timeline looks like, I hope to get the strategic plan approved soon. And after that is approved by the Plan Oversight Committee and adopted by City Council, staff takes the elements of that plan and develops a request for proposal so we could release it to the community and they could act upon it and try and provide, you know, their grant applications to implement what is outlined in the plan. That process, we look to release the request for proposals in late 2021, with proposals due early 2022. We look to give grantees and applicants a good window of time, knowing that it's the holidays, it's a difficult time. And then the review process is in spring, and we work with the Planning Oversight Committee subcommittee, a review subcommittee that will be established, an ad hoc review subcommittee, to really lead that process of selecting, reviewing the process, selecting the programs, and developing a strong funding package to bring forward for adoption by POC and approval by City Council. And all that does is done in spring to lead to summer programs being able to start up in June and a year-round program starting July 1, 2022. It's an exciting time. I know Kimberly and Anacria is still here. They have been on this process for the last cycle and could speak to the value of being on the review subcommittee and the exciting work that's ahead. We'll send this to you, but basically meetings are on the first and third Wednesday of the month. I would say try to block those off. It's traditionally, that's the time that OSY meets is 6 p.m. on the first Wednesday of the month. Sometimes we have to switch it to the third Wednesday, or there's times like this month where we are needing to do a special meeting today and proposing another meeting in 2 weeks. So I kind of walked through this as, you know, we'll have some meetings and then a lot of review subcommittee meetings. I said I should have put this big red thing on both of it, that these are subject to change. But basically what we're looking to get is that by April, there's a strong funding recommendation that we have developed and approved. So in May, in June, May, we're bringing it to City Council for their adoption. And that June, I could be updating you on the programs and summer programs starting their work in July on the year-round programs. Okay. Scott, do you mind taking on the governance? We're nearing the end here. This is the last section of our orientation.
Sure. So if you go to our website, OFCY.org, there is a Planning and Oversight Committee tab, and there's the bylaws that are posted there.
So it outlines the term of appointment. These are annual appointments, August 1st to July 31st. And if the member, as well as the appointing council member or the mayor's office, if they want to reappoint, that can happen without any term limits. We ask that people come to all our meetings, and there's language in there that if you have so many unexcused absences, that it could be a basis for being removed, but I don't think we've ever done that. If there's any conflict of interest, please express them, especially as we go towards this RFP cycle that we're entering. If there's even any sort of perceived conflict of interest, please make that known publicly before we start making decisions as a public body in terms of funding. And then every year we have to elect co-chairs, which we just did. Congratulations, Dwayne and Tassian. So there is only one standing subcommittee that meets every year. It's the evaluation subcommittee. And as Mike just stated, we are trying to finalize the fiscal year 2021 evaluation report. So we will take interest of who is interested in the subcommittee and meet fairly soon. And then we also form ad hoc subcommittees, so as needed. And because this is the RFP as well as the review year, there'll be a review subcommittee, there'll be an appeal subcommittee, potentially then a strategic planning subcommittee, which we just had. And our meetings are, you know, fairly informal. We encourage people to ask questions, but we use the Rosenberg's Rule of Orders, which is sort of an updated and simplified version of Robert's Rule. So we still take a motion, have a second, take public comments before we act on anything. So if you're unfamiliar with that, please look at that. That's once again on our website. So we are a public body and we do abide by the Brown Act, which is the California state legislature. And we just went through the whole resolution process, as even that is changing due to the pandemic. But it sort of guarantees the public right to know and attend and participate in meetings of local legislative bodies. We're also governed by the City of Oakland Sunshine Ordinance. It was intended in part to clarify and supplement the Brown Act. So once again, it assures that the people of Oakland can be fully informed and participate in local government meetings. So that's one of the reasons why we have to post meetings in advance and these special meetings that are sort of out of our first and third Wednesdays. We have to have a longer lead up time. So we also encourage public participation. So we provide 2 minutes per speaker per item, and that's subject to the chair's discretion. If there's any reduction in time, the chair must announce that publicly in advance. We should always permit speakers to address an item before we take a final vote as a POC. We must permit open forum, which is a standing item on all our agendas during regular as well as special meetings. We cannot prevent criticism of procedures, programs, acts, or omissions. And we must adopt the speaker rules or apply the speaker rules reasonably and uniformly. So we can't favor or decrease anyone's ability to speak up on an item. Public Ethics Commission. So I'm not sure, are we gonna do another Public Ethics Commission training?
Oh, we'll give an update. This is, okay. Usually annually we do provide, there's a city public ethics body and they do have a training that they provide to you as a public board commissioner. They're looking to do it a little bit different. Instead of coming in person, it might be virtual this year. And so we'll follow up with each POC member kind of offline just to make sure that you have all the resources for that. As a body, we'll be making funding decisions and determinations and be held to the public ethics code as well. So we want to make sure we'll get that in the next month or so. And with that, that is the end of this orientation. I appreciate you bearing with us through this. We hope it does help us to give some grounding to new members and old members, and as well as the public, of what is OFCY and what is the POC, what we're doing here. And so if you have any questions, let us know. And I think this was a good reminder as well for our chairs as well, to be sure that we are asking if there's any public comment on each agenda item as well as we move forward.
Yes, great reminder.
Yes.
Any questions from members, from commissioners? If not, thank you.
Can I just add that when we have new members, we know that we need to like reach out. And so we feel remiss if we haven't, like Shamel, I haven't really talked with you before, but as we go through the process, we want to make sure that we, both the adult chair, I mean, the adult commissioners and the staff, get a chance to, you know, just answer your questions. It doesn't have to be here. It can be like offline. We can have another session. We can get together for a coffee or something outside. So that's all I'd say. So that was a quick orientation.
And I would say, yeah, there is that page on the website. I'd encourage POCOFCY.org, the oversight committee. We would, if we're in person, we'd be giving you a hard copy binder of all these materials that sit maybe on your desk, but we have moved to having online. So if you want to look Rosenberg's Rule of Orders or the bylaws or the Sunshine Act, Brown Act, it's there for you to look at as a resource.
Awesome. Well, we will move on to item 6, which is receive the draft OFCY strategic investment plan for FY22-25. So again, I'll put this in the hands of the city.
Thank you. So this is the first draft. It's a draft version. It's the first time that, you know, since the summer, we've been able to present and for the POC to receive the draft strategic plan for 22-25. And it's sort of an opening period as well for getting more feedback and stakeholder input and public input. You know, there are a lot of, you know, time and engagement did go into the plan. So I'm going to just go through some of those highlights. But we do hope to move forward with approval of the plan in the next meeting, which we hope will be October 27th. And at that point, the idea would be that submission to the Life Enrichment Committee on November 15th for their hearing of the plan and for their approval and forwarding on to approval and adoption by the city council. So this is a really, you know, critical, you know, week or two where we're getting this input, and we hope that the commissioners get a chance to review it. We know, realize you might not have reviewed it at all. So I'll just hit some highlights, and hopefully you can also connect with your council members. And we've had a great subcommittee that worked on this. After the initial meeting in December and January, we did have a subcommittee which had asked for Kimberly, Tazian, Peter, Bill, who were on the subcommittee, who went through a lot of the work and the data. So we're here to just go over it in general, and, you know, present it for the first time. And with that, I did send I sent an additional slide, so an additional PowerPoint. Mike, who's going to share that? Or I could. And I sent that to Mike and Caitlin. I guess I can share my screen. I will try to get that up.
I have the PowerPoint available, the strategic plan PowerPoint, so I could share that. I haven't had a chance to insert a slide, but.
No. I sent an updated one, literally 10 minutes ago. I can just share mine. At least I can try. But I would have sent you one literally a minute ago. So I'll try to share mine. How's that?
That'd be okay. Thank you.
So is that, are you seeing this slide?
Yes.
Is that available? Okay. So the draft plan lands on sort of key strategy areas and goal areas based on a great deal of community input. And we're going to sort of walk through, first of all, we're going to walk through the overall goal areas and strategies, but then the allocation just briefly. You were receiving it for the first time, and it's actually not that long. But so to start this first slide, we're really just sharing with you OFCY's legislated goal areas. Within those goal areas, you know, we frame in the plan, there are shared goals with the community and stakeholders that are collective goals for children and youth in Oakland. And OFCY is intended to support the well-being and positive outcomes for children from birth to youth, young adults age 21. So healthy development of young children, landing on strategies in this area, two strategies, social emotional well-being in early childhood, and then continuing the Family Resource Center and parent engagement involvement and work that has been a real strong feature of reaching families and communities. Children's Success in School would now have comprehensive based after school and elementary schools, comprehensive school-based after school middle schools, middle school engagement, wellness, and transitions. We'll talk more about what these mean, and high school and post-secondary student success. And then the youth development and violence prevention area, it is named as such. It's youth leadership and development is what OFCY has been funding as a general area. We've called it youth development. We used to call it youth leadership and community safety, but this is those programs that focus on community-based youth development. Some are school-based, but that focus is really in community as well and safe spaces. Summer academic programming, that's been a hallmark of OCY that supports learning. And violence prevention programming as a new strategy that's specifically called out to support the critical nature of violence prevention work in Oakland and youth leadership in that regard. And then transitions to adulthood is a goal area, which in the strategies that we have here really focuses on both opportunity youth and continuing to focus on access and employment for youth in school. With, let's see, the next slide, it's really, I'll talk a little bit about how the funding looks for OFCY in the coming fiscal year of 2022-2023. And this is based upon the, council's recent, adoption of the budget for this year and next year. And so we're using a projection that's really closely tied to that, of there being $18 million available to allocate across all of the goal areas. And just broadly speaking here, this is pretty consistent with, funding, that's in the allocations that we've had in the past, but we have some percentages. They are rounded. they're definitely guides. They're not strict because we're still working through, you know, how many after school, you know, programs will be funded and what is the commitment that needs to happen to support the policy constraints that we have and the programmatic constraints that we have around equity and around supporting public schools that have children with over 50% free and reduced lunch, which is the average being over 80% free and reduced lunch in Oakland public schools. And then of course that also, now we've sort of reframing how we present the strategies and areas of funding with middle school engagement, wellness and transitions being called out as a specific area to support middle school youth who are in a very high, in very high need communities or high schools that we want to support additionally with wellness or engagement or violence prevention work. And as well, high school and post-secondary student success has a specific focus. And then there's youth development and violence prevention, which has been a pot of funding that's been with OCY for many years. And we have, in this case, again, emphasized that there would be a specific focus area of violence prevention strategy. And then with transitions to adulthood, we've got 16% as the percentage that would be allocated. And again, these aren't hard and fast. We would actually have a better indication of what those revenues look like in 22, 23 and what's available for actually this investment in children and youth in the spring. But it broadly, the purpose of the plan is really providing that guidance to that then gets further detailed in the request for proposal. So it's guiding in terms of what's fundable and so that agencies know how to best design their proposals. And the actual amounts and what gets funded in the end is like an allocation framework, but it's, you know, not written in stone. Just to touch a little bit on community engagement and what also goes into the work that happened to develop the strategies. We started with a focus session with the Planning and Oversight Commission with Darlene Flynn, who's the director of the Office of Race and Equity, and, you know, built from there with a community engagement or work that included, you know, provider sessions, certainly stakeholder interviews, interviews with elected officials, as well as those on collective impact table, interviews with some provider communities and specific advocacy areas, community forums. There was a town hall to really bring out more East and West town hall and particularly African-American community members as well. Youth forums, there were two. And so this is just a, you know, brief thing, but the plan details in greater detail. There's also a TAE focused youth forum, which would be slightly older youth and drawn from community leadership that brought in Black and Brown youth and focused on transitional age youth and their needs in particular. But there was a large family focus group and then some, you know, in English, Spanish, and Cantonese, and then smaller group listening sessions through the family resource centers. So there were many opportunities for input from youth and some from families. And then we had as well community provider focused meetings and sessions to really try to understand directions for different areas and how they are very much linked across the city with getting this funding out. Moving on, the community guidance was really, really clear around what children, youth, and families, and children and youth in particular were experiencing. Of course, this is an unprecedented time. And so the clarity around certain key areas that were, you know, that should be focused on came through the community voice and youth voice in particular. And that, you know, youth are experiencing stress and trauma, and that immigrant children and youth playing a disproportionate role in service navigation in their households, and that youth, you know, transitional youth themselves are really under a lot of stress when they are playing multiple roles. Families, youth, and communities themselves must have the solutions to the challenges that they face. And this was a consistent theme that comes from multiple areas, I would say. And so with that, we had clear community guidance. It's in more detail in the plan. In fact, I think I'm missing something here on this slide, but prioritizing opportunities for mental health, well-being, cultural and gender-based safe spaces and trauma-informed programming, you know, really ensuring programs and services are accessible for families, location, language access, and cultural relevancy, and opportunities for youth and parents to be the key decision makers and leaders. So that's the guidance, and that is intended to be reflected through the plan. From the standpoint of a great deal of data is available on the disparities that persist, and this was developed and summarized in a document that is posted at wwofcy.org that really you know, is the basis of this, you know, equity framework, which it's called the Community Needs Assessment and Racial Equity Analysis, and that was pulled together by HTA, who worked throughout this process to really compile the data and to make sure that this community engagement work was represented in a document that really provides a really clear basis for these investments in children and youth. And so it has so much information in it that, we just want to make sure that we are, you know, I'm not going to repeat that. The whole idea is that we hope you get a chance to look at these documents and to, you know, look at the plan, but there is a basis for prioritizing funding to address the needs of Black, African-American and Latinx youth and families. It's really, really clear that, you know, Black children and youth experience disparities at a higher level in many of the areas and across many of the measures that are talked through in that document. And so we wanted to make sure that in this funding, it's called out in our equity framework, that should be a high priority for investment. That, of course, supporting youth of color, particularly Indigenous and Asian Pacific Islander youth. And this will be included in the plan and intersects, of course, with children and youth in low-income families, which is also clearly the basic partly what OFCY is doing in terms of access, equity, equitable access to resources. And then very specifically, the plan has the mapping around the neighborhoods in Oakland and prioritizing services for East and West, you know, based on the stressors that families may be experiencing in neighborhoods and ensuring there are key opportunities and safe spaces for children, youth, and families. And so it does form the basis of an equity framework. Within that, we also, of course, are calling out opportunity youth, children experiencing homelessness, LGBTQ youth, foster youth, and children with disabilities. Clearly, there are also disproportionate disparities experienced by Black children within those populations and other groups at times. And so that ensuring that as OCY has been able to do through our different strategies, that there is, you know, culturally specific or targeted funding for youth experiencing greatest the greatest challenges or disparities or barriers is part of the priority in the equity framework. And then just to not go through each of these strategic areas, but just to highlight what's changed and to some extent, you know, we've been able to really support the early childhood ecosystem with some foundational funding for family resource centers and for family engagement programming. It's called parent pair programming here, but it's the non-traditional families for sure. But those investments are continuing. There's a social emotional well-being emphasis for early childhood that includes has included mental health consultation. And here the opportunity is to really broaden that to what families are saying they need as they're experiencing these last year or two. And so we're trying to support grounded in mental health, but wellness and support for parents having access to the resources they need around social emotional well-being and mental health. And there are intended outcomes. I won't go through those. With regard to the children's success in school, just calling out that the thing that I think is, there's a focus, intended focus on middle school area investing with more engagement for those youth developing more culturally competent programming, unique needs of middle school students, and particularly Black and African American students who, experiencing disparities. And this could be very much tied to wellness, the wellness initiatives, or, you know, even some of the violence prevention, mentoring, peer-to-peer supports, peer-to-peer leadership. So trying to invest more clearly in that area. And then within the high school and post-secondary student success strategy area, that has been a way that OFCY has provided additional, you know, school-based programming resources that have met the needs around academic learning, around program specifics to populations, such as African-American students or refugees, refugee wellness, et cetera. And so in this instance, what we are calling out is support for wellness, you know, initiatives and being grounded in wellness as youth, you know, as much as coming out around youth mental health and their well-being, and as well culturally specific programming would continue to be a focus. And let's see, just going on to youth development, what's a little bit different as OFCY has provided youth development. And I think there's almost 35 programs in the current grant cycle each year who are doing this youth development programming across, you know, different populations. And what we'd be continuing to do is youth development, connecting to specific populations, connecting to safe spaces as much as possible, enhancing youth strengths, et cetera. But there is more emphasis, and it's not shown here, but emphasis on youth leadership, youth organizing and advocacy, and as youth being decision makers in their, in their communities and in this programming as well. So those opportunities are looked for, as well as arts and enrichment and the sort of physical well-being programs that can support youth as well, and that there's really high demand for. And the other area, of course, that OCY continues to fund is summer programming to support learning and enrichment programming, partnering with community-based organizations and to do that work. And then this is an element that were asked in some of the stakeholder interviews, you know, to really address. And this would be violence prevention programming specifically, equity focused to support not only just restorative justice, but education and prevention programming. This could support, you know, healing and well being grounded in mental health, not necessarily clinical mental health, but wellness, the wellness area. So violence prevention programming, you know, we have continued, you know, effort and, you know, to coordinate and to align with the Department of Violence Prevention. But, you know, acknowledging that that as it's developing its next round of funding, you know, there is an opportunity to be much more clear about what DVP is funding and what Open Fund for Children and Youth is funding. So violence prevention programming can really be, can be done by OFCY. It's done in a different way, whereas Oakland Unite has a very specific focus on population and on interruption services. We think there is an opportunity for youth leadership in particular in violence prevention programming. And there are other opportunities that I didn't touch on that are touched on in the plan around coordination with other, you know, city departments, with certainly Oakland Unified School District, but with DVP in particular. I think that's part of the work in the next couple of weeks, and we're sort of looking for feedback and trying to be more clear about how that might look. But, you know, as we say, the strategic plan is broad. It provides guidance and supports coordination and certainly alignment with the Department of Violence Prevention. And then the other area, and these are intended outcomes and impacts across each strategy that would be something you can look to in the plan, with a through line being safe, supported spaces for highest priority, you know, high priority youth populations. And the other area is how, you know, just framing the transitions to adulthood program, which would be looking to really invest more holistic funding and support for opportunity youth. And that would be youth transitioning to adulthood in ages 16 to 21 who are not engaged in school or work, and trying to make sure that there's that on-ramp and access to opportunities and coordination through these community-based investments and stakeholders. So, and the other area is, you know, to really just continue to support the ramp up of, you know, career access and employment for youth in school, youth in high school in particular. So, you know, we have the career pathways programs and that partnership is strong, but there is always the, you know, there's that the need to make sure that there are summer youth employment programs that youth have opportunity for to build their experience with subsidized employment and to be exposed to new opportunities to build skills, with ultimately the idea being that, of course, to have sustainable, you know, opportunities for youth to support themselves and as they transition to adulthood for both of these two strategy areas. And so that's just an overview of the plan. We're hoping to support, you know, just your efforts to just review it and give feedback. And that feedback, you know, we are looking for from the commissioners and from the stakeholders, including the city council in the next week or so, and from the public as we go through this meeting and into the end of October. And ideally, this would lead to the, you know, release of the request for proposal in December with a great deal of mileage to be had between now and then in terms of strengthening the RFP and putting in a little bit more detail. But we hope that, you know, you can support with your input, the guidance in the plan so that we can move forward with that. And so I will stop sharing the screen. All of this is, you know, available at the OFCY's, you know, website, www.ofcy.org. The community needs assessment and Rich Equity Analysis also posted. The community engagement summaries should also be posted. And I'll just stop and thank the committee members who, you know, went through several meetings. And also Tim Tabernak from HTA and his team who worked with us to compile a lot of information and to draft many versions. So I'll stop there and, you know, just ask for any questions. And, you know, again, we don't want to move into adoption mode. This is the first time that we're actually getting to publicly share this document. So.
I mean, I was just going to add that I really sort of being part of the subcommittee appreciate sort of the rigor that we went through all of the data and that we were receiving. And I think just really honest conversations and grounded conversations and where priority had to go for resources and really lifting up sort of the disparities in those most structurally vulnerable and impacted and really centering Black youth. And I feel like that's really critical and necessary. So, you know, I appreciate the conversations and I just appreciate just the amount of work we did and the amount of information we were given so we can make sense of this. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other comments or questions? Okay, I will echo Kimberly's statement that a lot of work with a lot of information, sometimes it was an information overhaul, but it was really good context that we needed to really prioritize those that are most vulnerable, which usually are Black children in this city. And with the growing population, our Latinx brothers and sisters are also closely following behind that now. And so just ensuring that resources are available to all groups is essential. Thank you for that overview, Sandy, and the entire team. Great work. I don't believe we have any action to take on this. Wait, did I hear someone?
Yes, is a raised hand from Maximilian Rocha or Roca.
Okay, Maximilian will give you 2 minutes to speak. Starts now.
Good evening. Thank you, commissioners, for the time and appreciate all the thoughtfulness putting into this plan. My name is Max Rocha. I am a resident in Oakland. In review of the plan, just really want to call out the support available for our Black and Brown youth. Black lives do matter, and in addition to that, I also want to point out the anti-Asian hate that's been experienced by many of our local Oakland residents, children, and youth. Yes, I do see that the plan does call out Black and Brown youth and some for API youth. I do want to recommend the commissioners to also look into how violence has affected Asian and Pacific Islander children, youth, and families. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment, Maximilian. Are there any, let me look through. I don't see any other raised hands.
Tassian, I think Dwayne was trying to talk before we went to public comment.
Okay, Dwayne, the floor is yours.
No, I was just mentioning that Maximilian did have a question in the attendee.
Oh, got it. Are there any other comments from our public or comments from our commissioners?
I'll just say I just want to appreciate the orientation and then going into the strategic plan was just really helpful for me in seeing like the process that's coming up because I think it's one thing to like look at the strategic plan as the public, but it's another thing to then say, now we have to take the strategic plan, turn it into funding, then actually, you know, go through a whole process of then evaluating who then best, you know, creates the spaces and the resources and the activities that our children need to make the strategic plan real. So just wanted to say that, because I think sometimes we can sit in these spaces and have lots of conversation and mind community for their needs, but then not actually like talk through like it's a process to get to the real experience folks have lifted up, they want to be changed. So just appreciating the staff and the commissioners for the work. And then the only thing that I would just say, and I've said it in the past, is my big wondering, and I know lots of folks wondering, is beyond this strategic plan, there are some big gaps in services and resources to make this all real. And we're also talking about only 3% of what's projected to be a potential dwindling general fund, right? And so just curious how we have that conversation post, you know, this part of the process of like, we still don't have enough resource at our disposal to really meet the needs, and recognizing that like we also have a various differences in opinion around who, what, when, where, and how resources should be divided in our city budget process, right? So just want to say that, because I get also quite nervous with that 3% budget, and I'm like, that ain't enough. Like, God bless us, but it just isn't enough for our kids.
I 100% agree, Papali, and to piggyback off that, I know that there is some work that's being done in the city as it relates to add additional money to our general fund by increasing our business license tax. So it is my hope that that with the general fund being increased, and maybe with all those funds not being allocated to support business and small business, that some of those funds can be brought into OFCY to support this work that we're doing to protect and prioritize youth in Oakland.
And Tassion, there is another hand up from Brooklyn Williams.
Awesome, Brooklyn, you have 2 minutes.
Great, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Brooklyn Williams, I was a member of the Reimagining Public Safety Task Force that took place with the City of Oakland. I was representing District 4. And I'm just calling in to appreciate the work done on this to identify the need for a focus on violence prevention for young people. Wanted to put something on your radar. Another recommendation that came out of the task force was to create violence interruption and prevention teams that will be on school sites. At maybe 4 to 5 high schools in OUSD next year, that will be funded by the DVP. And so my hope is that these OFCY funds that are focusing on youth leadership and violence prevention can be coordinated with the strategy that the DVP has adopted, and we are currently coordinating with OUSD to develop. And we'd be interested to hear, I know in the past, the funds for violence prevention and the funds for OFCY have been kind of looked at as one fund. And so I'm wondering what the commissioners would think if, you know, an organization applied to do the violence interruption teams at a school site, and then also for DVP, and then also applied for OFCY to do youth leadership violence prevention teams. What your opinion would be on that? I'm hoping it wouldn't be frowned upon, and we're looking for some coordination across the departments and across strategies so that we can have a citywide strategy. But really just wanted to put this other intervention, this innovative intervention that's going to be taking place and funded by the DVP, putting violence prevention teams in our schools, and really appreciate OFCY stepping up to the plate and naming violence prevention as a specific strategy so that we can help coordinate services and try to move the dial in our city. So thank you.
Yeah, can I just speak really quickly? I don't know if you guys want staff to speak yet or if we have more comments from the public, but there is a little point to be made.
No hands are raised, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, I did not, you know, within the strategies that we have for listed here, we have definitely had and are having ongoing conversations with DVP about the coordination aspect. So the you know, their focus, as I said, was on, you know, is definitely violence intervention and interruption, with elements that are new at specific schools, and the opportunity there is definitely there with OFCY's focus on wellness centers and youth leadership to coordinate and partner. So that's part of conversation. It may be that it's through the high school success strategy, and we're going to try to like frame that more clearly within the plan, you know, as guidance. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that from the beginning, and this is sort of why we always put in a part about shared goals, is that we don't, you know, there's a context within the city as a whole and nationally, internationally, but there's a context that, you know, of course, Oakland Fund is one fund in one process. And a very, and it's a rigorous process, which we want to make sure that through these strategies we are coordinating, but we are also aware it's sort of a collective impact process. So the county and the school district and philanthropy and community itself in leadership, right, are you know, collectively reaching for, you know, goals and investments in community. Because the process that OFCY has, it is pretty, you know, it's rigorous, but it's also its process where you have a plan and an RFP and open and fair process for proposing. And what we want to do through this is make sure that in the strategies we select and as we build it out in the RFP, we have coordination, we have equity, right? We make sure that there is, that organizations know how they can apply and that it makes the most sense from the community standpoint, from their standpoint, from partnership standpoint. So this is the difficult thing, is that we kind of look at the bigger picture with all the city issues and highest priorities to reduce violence, with our mandate, which is certainly to support educational outcomes and well-being outcomes and community safety. All of those things intersect. And we're trying to build out the strategies, but the plan is a framework, and it's the detail gets pushed out more in the RFP. But we appreciate the comments about coordination, because that's definitely, it's step by step, but that's definitely happening.
So the next hand up is from Marianne Ceballos. Okay, and I'll allow to talk. Okay, Marianne, you have 2 minutes.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, everyone. Marianne Ceballos, Associate Director of Youth Services at the Unity Council. And we're in our third year of OFCY funding for the Latinx Mentoring and Achievement Program. And one thing that we're learning, which is huge in advocacy and leadership for high school girls and gender expansive students in Oakland Unified. And we're one of the consortium partners with Alliance for Girls, who have released amazing research and reports on the needs of girls and gender expansive youth. Especially during the time of COVID and the lack of resources and funding provided to girl serving organizations. It's just another, I know there's a series of priority funding, but just that persistent gender inequity that prevails in our systems too. So, but thank you for that support. We look forward to submitting, you know, an additional RFP or a new RFP this term to keep doing our work with the girls and leading some of the work they did with the public transit. Really recommend checking out the consortium or the collaboration with Betty Girl, Black Girls Brilliance and Betty Ono and our program. And Bart really put together this amazing Not One More Girl campaign that we're looking to roll out into phase two, which will go into the schools and do, you know, public safety conversations and expanding on the work that's been built in the short time we've been around. So it's very exciting. And just wanted to make that comment about the needs of girls and gender expansive youth. And how disproportionate the funding and programming is for them.
Awesome, thank you. Caitlin, are there any other hands raised?
Yes, Kim Johnson.
Okay, Kim, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Kim Johnson from Bananas and part of the Healthy Havens Court Collaborative. I just wanted to express my appreciation for all the work that you guys are doing because of the needs, the great needs that are in Oakland, and how it's just, it's really challenging and difficult to take a little bit and try to spread it around. Our collaborative works with the early care and education and family engagement, family resource center for our youngest citizens. And I definitely wanted to amplify the points being made about coordination, in addition to the funding that OFCY is making available, we have to be really intentional about partnering and staying on top of some of the other funding that's coming around, the ARPA funding or the American Rescue Plan, so that we can coordinate. That too is, you know, a time limited funding source, but we need to collaborate across all tables. To make sure that we are serving the residents of Oakland as best we can. And I also wanted to just amplify the previous speaker and the need for our girls. And there's a lot of exploitation going on with our girls, trafficking, and we have to make sure that they're being protected. So thank you for all the work that you're doing, and it's very much appreciated. And we look forward to continuing partnering with you. Thank you.
Thank you. And
I do not see. Right.
Okay. So we will end public comment and move on to, I believe it's agenda item 7, which is like general announcements or administrative matters. Yeah, administrative matters. So I'll turn it back over to OFCY staff.
So we just want to make sure that we put out there on the table, really trying to come back at the end of October, October 27th, with the intention of, you know, making some tweaks and so forth on this plan and coming back to move into a plan with final approval that we could send to City Council. So October 27th would be the date. And then as I think Mike Wetzel shared with you sort of a schedule coming up, the November 3rd would be dedicated to the evaluation subcommittee meeting, which is really timely and sharing what's gone on in the last year. But October, just putting that out there as a heads up and encouraging your continued communication and feedback with the council members. And thank you so much to you all for your comments and to, you know, any feedback you're providing to us as we reach out to you to we've already gotten some, you know, good feedback from Peter Lee, and appreciate the comments here, comments from the public, and we'll be looking for more and trying to, you know, make sure we're clear and beef up areas that need beefing up or more emphasis. So thank you so much. We'll see you, we hope, on the 27th.
Awesome, just encourage us all to mark that on our calendars so that we can have quorum.
I'd also thank you for mentioning also the POC evaluation on November 3rd. This is an opportunity for the new POC 21-22 group to join the evaluation subcommittee.
I think currently we have Jorge Velasco and Ana Creta Allen were on it last year. Jorge, if you're interested in continuing, we'd love to have your experience on it. And if there's any other new members who'd want to participate, speak up now or we'll follow up offline as well. It's an opportunity for really getting deep into the evaluation and talking with our consultant, the independent consultant, social policy research associated around the evaluation design in next year. So if you're interested, let me know now. And again, we'll follow up by email too.
I am interested. This is Colia Manica.
Colia, great. Thank you.
Can I ask if we could put the dates back up for the upcoming meetings? Is that possible?
Might take a second.
Sorry. I was trying to put them all on my schedule.
Let's see. I can't pull it up right now and do two things at once, but we were looking at October 27th for the full PSC and then November 3rd for the subcommittee. And then going back to December, the first Wednesday in December for the next PSC meeting to get back on that schedule. I'll send it out. We'll send it out as a separate document so it doesn't get lost in the PowerPoint to the PSC members as well.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. And then at the December meeting, you guys could start thinking about who you would like to have on the review subcommittee, because that'll be a great subcommittee. Want to get you engaged starting December once the RFP is developed.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because we only have the evaluation subcommittee in November, so we're not having an overall PLC committee.
Right. Since we're doubling you up this month, we didn't want to overload it in November.
That's great. I just wanted to clarify because, yeah, thanks.
Oh, sorry. Do you want me to put that back up, Julia?
Thanks for being quick, Caitlin, putting it up there.
Sure. So on December 1, that's probably also when you'll be sharing more of a draft RFP with the committee, right?
December 1 will be when we'll be sharing the evaluation report for full adoption by the committee. We'd be sharing more on the RFP, I guess, process and elements. We'll share as much out as we can. Yeah. This is a pretty complex timeline that we have, is that getting what you're looking at, Life Enrichment Committee approving the plan in November, and then City Council maybe approving it in December. And so we know we can't release an RFP until the City Council approves it, but we could give you the general framework of what we'd be trying to accomplish.
Yes.
Well, if there aren't any other matters to discuss or any matters on anyone's heart, we will adjourn this meeting at 7:37.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you guys have a great night.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tim.
Hanging in there.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Bill.
Good.
Sarah, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Did you want to talk or you're good?
We have public. So thank you, everybody.
No, we're fine. We better adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, public, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.